to the Jimmy Eats Cars Automotive Podcast, hosted by me, Jimmy James Hilton. If you're here for the first time, this is the podcast where we talk about all the automotive stories out there in the ether and beyond. Today on the plate, we got GTRs crashing in Tokyo, we got more Nissan drama, we got Instagram beefs, and at the end, we're going to talk about Kyle Loftus, the owner of 1320. So let's get into this meal. But first, if you don't know, we built a Red Bull Soapbox Derby cart, and we built it last year, and we went to the Red Bull Soapbox Derby here in L.A., a downhill in the heart of L.A., and we won. We won. We won first place overall. So we got the best time down the hill, and we won the overall championship. That's sick. Hell yeah. I'm stoked. I was driving, by the way. I blacked out. I don't remember the event at all. I feel like I remember it in like spurts. Half of the event, I just stood there like this, like Vin Diesel. Our car was Vin Diesel, by the way. We'll put a photo of it up on screen. And for the audio listeners, this is Vin Diesel standing like he does, and he goes in his tank top and his big old head, and he's got his chain, and it was a huge 3D printed bust, like pretty much almost the size of me, just sitting on the back, and we had his legs that were made of cardboard and painted, and we had his little toes, his little piggies out for Red Bull, dogs out for Red Bull. And I was so nervous leading up to it. I want to say I wasn't nervous, and I was like, this is going to be a piece of cake, but I was nervous. This is something I'd never done before. There was a jump. I didn't know how big the jump was going to be. I was just, you know, something new. You're going to feel nervous. That's normal. And, yeah, we went up there. We got on stage. We did our little skit with all of us and Vin Diesel. All of us were Vin Diesel, by the way. We had five people up there. It was Justin, Adam, Steph was vignette. it was me, and then Soupy, who helped build the thing. And we all dressed up as Vin Diesel with our buff t-shirts and our bald caps. And we went down this hill, and I tore it up in that thing. Did a perfect jump, hit the jump, and Vin Diesel's head popped off. And I almost caught it because I was like so happy I did the jump. Yeah, it was awesome. Couldn't have gone any better. I can't believe it still. I don't know what happened. I feel like the Red Bull gives you wings really touched me that day. I feel like I could feel the wings as we soared through the sky and Vin Diesel's head popped off. That got wings, Vin Diesel's head, and it flew through the sky and then it bounced on the floor. We thought someone stole the head because we got to the bottom and the head was gone by that point. We had no idea what had happened. And we were down at the bottom and we were like, we need the head. And we heard from one of the Red Bull people who was like, we can't find the head. And I'm like, oh no, someone stole it. And I was like, that is definitely going to end up on Facebook Marketplace and we're going to have to pay like $2,000 ransom for Vin Diesel's head. but we got Vin Diesel's head back. They brought it. And then I didn't believe we got the fastest time either. That was the thing. When we got to the bottom, I was just like stoked that we survived and I didn't break any bones or flip the cart. And I was just stoked. I was so stoked. But then, we actually won the thing. We got the best time. We got the best downhill time and we won overall. So that's pretty cool. I can't believe it still. It's insane. Everyone else did an awesome job. There were so many cool concepts and ideas. There was this team that we are next to, 25. They were Appa from Avatar, Last Airbender. So their whole team was all the characters from Avatar, The Last Airbender, and they had Appa, and they rode down the hill on Appa, and I thought that was cool. It was really creative, really cool, really cool event. And I have a need now, a need for soapbox derby racing. I found my calling. Yeah. So we've actually been building this thing for about a year now because originally they were going to have the soapbox derby last year. So we built the thing for that. And then halfway through building it, we were about to start painting Vin Diesel. They canceled the event and they said, we're going to move it to next year. Sorry for the inconvenience. And it sat in our office for over a year, unpainted. And Vin Diesel just looked like a phantom. And he just had, like, no eyeballs or anything. So he was always staring at you, no matter where you were in the office. Now, I got to say, now it's even worse because his eyeballs are painted, and I do feel like he is staring at you no matter what. He looks horrifying painted. So he's just kind of weird looking, but I think that adds to the character of Vin Diesel. Couldn't believe it. I genuinely am still in shock that we won. I don't know how we did it. I don't know what happened. I think, Max Verstappen didn't place at Nuremberg this weekend, but I placed on the podium, and that makes me an official Red Bull athlete. it was pretty cool. Really a fun event. So hopefully next year they bring it back. I hope they bring it back. I want to do it again. All right, so our appetizer for today is one of my favorite topics of all time. I love seeing it every time it pops up in my feed. I love it and I hate it, but another high horsepower car crash in Tokyo. An R35, Nissan R35, crashed near Shibuya on the sidewalk, slammed into a taxi, ended up on the sidewalk. These high-profile crashes in Tokyo are pretty well recorded because it's this high-profile car. People are everywhere. They want to film it. It's unseen. There's a ton of car crashes probably in Tokyo every day, but anything with a GTR, a Silvia, even a Civic that's like a Type R, it's recorded. People are going to post this online because it rarely happens to these cars. Now, the worst part of this crash, you know, normally R35, you're pretty, it's kind of NPC traffic there. Now, the worst thing about this crash, though, was it was a Japanese street racer tourer. And this is kind of a thing that's been happening a lot more often in Tokyo, where there's these Japanese tour guides that want to take people around, give them, you know, the ride of their lifetime. And we've seen it before. We've talked about it before on this podcast with the Brazilian nationality who had the another R35 who had the shiesty on and was racing through the streets, and he spun out. And thankfully, no one was injured in that crash. This crash, again, no one was injured, thankfully. But this is a problem. I think this is one of the only... I don't see this problem anywhere else. Maybe Germany might have it, but I feel like auto tourism is a thing that I only see in Japan. Maybe in Germany they might have auto tourism, and Italy maybe, I would say, too, with all the Ferrari and Lamborghini factory and all the beautiful racetracks. There is a thing of, you know, Europeans coming here and getting a muscle car to drive through the Southwest. But with Japan, it is pretty specific to Tokyo, the surrounding area, and Osaka, where these tour guides that are, you know, maybe on Airbnb or I don't know if there's like experience apps, they will, you know, be like, oh, I'll take you around. I'll give you the Tokyo street racer experience. So they'll pick you up from a predetermined spot. And because these guys are trying to make a living off of this, they want to get a 5-star review. So to get that 5-star review, they're going to give you the street racer experience. They are going to go, I think, balls out to try and give you that best experience. And I think that's a little dangerous because not only are you're putting yourself in danger getting in one of these cars if you don't know who this guy is, but you're also putting other people's lives in danger. You're putting truck drivers, taxi drivers, like, thank God this taxi guy didn't get hurt in this crash, and also just people walking on the street, pedestrians. This is like a problem. I think if you do go to Japan and you want to go do street racer stuff, I shouldn't even say street racer. If you want to go to Japan and you want to go to Tokyo and you want to get the experience of seeing the automotive culture there, please, please find someone who is legit. Find someone who's legit. Find someone who is done this a lot. They've got a ton of good reviews. You know, I have a bunch of friends who do this. If you need a recommendation, I'm happy to shoot them your way. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. I don't want to see you end up like this guy on the sidewalk getting laughed at by Japanese TikTokers. I think it was near the Shibuya Scramble. It was near that like intersection where all the people start walking. A bunch of people ran over to the car and were like doing like TikTok dances near it, which is like insult to injury. I thought it was the owner at first who was doing that, which I was like, whoa, dude, you almost just killed people. Shouldn't be doing that. I was like, that is a U.S. car owner activity. U.S., okay, not U.S. car, U.S. like 18-year-old car owner activity. I've talked about the BMW flipping on here on the snake, and that's what happened when I saw that. I saw a kid doing TikTok dances on his M3. Certified BHA, broccoli head activities. Yo, we got to talk about Instagram beef, speaking of. There's like a couple Instagram beefs going on right now. I just think it's kind of interesting to talk about because it's so interesting how far this movement's gone. But I want to talk first about the just a quick follow-up to the Canyon Carver story last week that we talked about because both Evan and Court Wagner responded to our video. Court and Evan both said that the DM that we shared was actually from a year ago. However, in my defense, that DM feels so relevant because it is the exact same thing that they are talking about. And I just think that that's like insane that Court is still just like, yeah, cross the mustard, do it. And Evan was like, he just gave me, he's like, hey man, that was actually from a year ago, but he agreed that it is relevant more than ever. It's insane how far this don't cross the mustard joke has gotten and how much flame both Evan and Court Wagner have gotten about it. People have been like, well, Evan was the wrong messenger. Court is this race car driver, so he should be able to do it. There's so many sides to this thing. So this is the last time I'm going to be talking about it, and I want to make it brief because it's pretty sticky. I can't believe how far it's gone. I love all the skits people have done. I like the skits that people have gone where they take a bottle of mustard, and if someone crosses the it's obviously their friends they're recording. They cross the WL and they just start spraying mustard on them. I think that's good. It's Instagram goes a long way. Joe just told me about the black car guru. This guy has got a ton of followers, and all he does is roast of people. Shout out to the black car guru. Dude, Joe, you have to do a Talk Nation with him. That's a fucking good one. Yeah. That would be really good. I just think it's very interesting how car roasting has now become this like Instagram trend. And people are doing videos to kind of get his attention and get his opinion on their cars. And I think it's cool in a way to see how one person's opinion on Instagram can really go the distance, and people now have made it like it's such a cool internet joke, and he's got his community that he's built, and I just think that's really cool. So that's kind of the Instagram beef I want to talk about. But you know what I want to talk about actually to end off this section about Instagram beef? I want to share a really cool Instagram that I found this weekend that I thought was so sweet and kind. I shared it with Joe. I found like the automotive Rizzler, AJ, and Big Justice. It's called DeFriga and Fox Fallon, and it's a father and son, and they're building a Fox body Mustang, and it felt like automotive AJ and Big Justice. Like, it's just this young kid who kind of had like a good car. Like, I liked his take. He was at like a car show, I think on the East Coast, maybe like New Jersey or New York, and he was just like, man, all these cars here just like kind of whack. Like, I want to see hoods open. I want to see some cool cars. I was like, yo, that's cool to see such a young dude who's, not obsessed with a GT3 RS. He wants to see some cars that are really well built and cars that are abused and used and go the distance. And I thought that was really cool. And it's cool to have a dad who's so supportive of that. And if you're his dad, you got to feel stoked that your son's just like, nah, I want to see some hoods up. I want to see some cool cars. So shout out to those guys. That Instagram, like, that alone made my day. I feel like Instagram, again, has just, it's gotten really weird recently where I just see so much negativity. And that kind of, like, brought back my humanity. That, like, okay, humanity still exists. There's these, like, cool individuals that are making waves. So shout out to them. Give them a follow. Please, I want to see more content from them. So we had our Nissan V6 day last week over at Bob's Big Ball. And we had a bunch of awesome people come out. Chris Gaines, If you don't know, he's an influencer. He has a 350Z. He came out all the way down from San Francisco. That car is so cool that he's built, and it sounds good. He did like a whole video on basically trying to make a VQ sound good, and I think his car is really well built. I think there's a lot of 350Zs out there that are not that good, but his is like a really nice example where he's put the time into the right things. He's dropped money on stuff, and he's also built the car himself, kind of like he got seats from a Nissan. I think they were from a Nismo Juke, but I thought that was cool. That's a cool touch. But yeah, it was a hit, and we had free meals for the first 100 people. It was great. Had a fun time. I was left out. I was there, but I was left out because I had my Silvia, which is not a V6, but it is a Nissan. And I was talking to people about my Silvia, and it was pretty cool to just chat with people because I like my old Nissan a lot, and I have another old Nissan, my S14. And one thing a lot of people send to me over the weeks is that Nissan has always been kind of teasing that, oh, we're going to make parts for enthusiasts for these cars to bring back. And I got to be honest, I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening at all. Especially for the Silvias. I just don't see it. I don't think that the crowd is there. I feel like I know all the people who want nice Silvias and S chassis, and it's so tough to keep these cars in good condition because we're missing so many seals, trim pieces, interior bits, screws. There's so much stuff that is so hard to find for these cars, and I just can't see Nissan producing that stuff again. And I think if we're going to see stuff being produced for an enthusiast market from Nissan, it's going to be for the GTR. However, this isn't the first time they've done this because Nismo has done the GTR restoration program where you can buy a lot of the body panels. I think they've had dashboards, headlights, taillights, badges, stuff like that. But here's kind of where my grievance is at with it. I feel like Nismo, I think, controls the market for this stuff because they know what people will pay for GTR parts. They know that the GTR has gone gangbusters. And I have heard multiple rumors that they have a stockpile of all these parts. They started their restoration program, I think, in around 2017 with bringing back body panels. I have heard they have a warehouse just filled with this stuff, and they just kind of release it at intervals so that they can drive the prices up. So they can, oh, we'll drop these then, and we're out. Check back in a year, and then they can pull the next wave of body panels out and just list them for double. I've heard that rumor. I've heard rumors that they have a warehouse filled with R34 GTRs as well, and they kind of, you know, move those along. And I feel like that's kind of insider trading. But I mean, that's just a rumor. That's just a game theory. That's just a gym theory. But I would be interested to know what's in that warehouse if they do have a secret warehouse. So if anyone knows anything, let me know. Nismo secret warehouse. Nismo Area 51. I wonder if they have any 400Rs in there. I know they have that yellow one, and then I know they probably have a couple, like, really, like, the Z-Tune R34s. I would have to assume. I just got a Nismo Shine, actually, which is pretty cool. I got to get that thing working. I haven't even been to Nismo in Japan, too. I'd really like to go. I'd want to buy more stuff. I got to get more stuff. There's so many cool Nismo stuff out there. I am a sucker for that stuff. You know what? If they come out with Silvia stuff and GTR stuff, I'm going to still pay for it. I know. I don't care. I'll pay for it. I'll money. Swipe my credit card, Nismo. If you need S14 trim and I got to swipe my credit card, I'm going to swipe my credit card. If you didn't know, I actually do have a brand on my own, but I haven't put any time into it yet, and it's called Wheel Safari, and if you want to go give that a follow, go check it out. It's pretty cool. I have some really cool ideas for it. I've already made merch, but I need to, like, figure it out as well, and I was going to do a launch event this summer, actually, in a warehouse downtown, but I ran out of time, So maybe next year. It's just a fun little brand. Just because I have so many sets of wheels, I think it'd be so sick to talk about more of that stuff. I love talking about wheels. I actually might pick up a set this week as a little present to myself for completing the Red Bull Soapbox Derby. It's a set of 17 by 10 TE37s in plus 18 OG as well. So this is not SLs. These are crazy rare because that's an aggressive ass offset, probably for like a GTR. But I want to put them on my S14. I think that would look pretty dang cool. But yeah, I mean, I love collecting wheels because I think at the end of the day, wheels transform the car. Wheels show the style you want to go with. And they just look all so damn unique and cool. And I love the branding. I love, like, Volk to me is such an iconic brand. And, like, just the way that the art looks on the logo. I love the logos. Go buy some real wheels. And, hey, go follow Wheel Safari. Go follow Wheel Safari. Maybe next year we'll figure something out. It's only a matter of time before I get my shit together on that. I mean, I have so much stuff on my plate. I've realized now I have like too many project cars. I feel like I've got the Civic now. I've got the S14, the S13. I've got this Miata project, and I've got my other Miata. So that's five project cars. Not one of them is done, and they're all incredibly slow and all four cylinders. And yeah, I feel like I need to add a BMW. I feel like I need a European car. I would love a BMW. E36 M3, I think, would fit very well in my lineup. And here I go again. I'm just like, I just need another project car, and then everything's going to be fine, you know? I'm going to stop talking about all my own purchases and wrap this Jimmy Yates cars up we're going to kind of bring the vibes down right here, but, you know, a lot happened in the past 2 weeks, and if you were under a rock and didn't know, Kyle Loftus of 1320 passed away. An automotive icon. He's up there, I think, with Ken Block, and, you know, while he wasn't, like, really a race car driver, I knew he was a fast driver. I think his community presence of just being such this cool dude who started something. 1320 Video, he started in college and was basically going to just drag events, whether they were at a racetrack or on the street, and just filming them and making a DVD and selling it through online forums. And I think that is so cool. And to see this man just start from such a small place and grow it to where it was, I mean, 1320 was huge. Kyle went all over the world. He didn't just keep it to the United States. He went to Japan. He went to Australia. I know in Australia he was well-loved. Andrew Hawkins of Motive Video was, like, everyone was heartbroken. I don't think anyone saw this coming at all. This was such a surprise. And I know he had the crash at the beginning of the year. It's crazy the footprint this guy left. Not only did he give Garrett Mitchell the name of Cletus McFarlane, Kyle gave him that name as a joke, and then that name stuck and now gave Cletus a platform to grow off of. And Cletus has gone gangbusters with his stuff. And I didn't know that came from Kyle. And it's so cool. I only heard, like, great things from the man. I watched a video David Patterson did, That Dude in Blue, about him. And it was I was like choking up watching it. Yeah, he did so much cool stuff. I met him very briefly last year, insane briefly. He was talking to my friend Jordan, and I went up to Jordan and I chatted with him like so quick. That was like my only interaction with him. I wish I could talk to him more, because I didn't realize who he was till after. I was like, oh, that was the 1320 guy, duh. But yeah, I mean, I know that he left a giant hole in the community. He meant so much to so many people, and he's going to be missed. Rest in peace, Kyle. So that'll be it for Jimmy Eats Cars. Follow me at RussellJimmy.jp. Follow wherever you listen to your donut podcast at Donut Podcast. Follow Joe Weber on Instagram at Joe G Weber, right? Yeah. And yeah, thank you guys so much for watching, listening. And remember, cherish all the moments you make, because you never know when the sun is going to blow up. Bye for now.